Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 21 to 25, God's word. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. This is God's holy, infallible, and eternal word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the setting for the book of Lamentations is, of course, the setting in which the siege of Jerusalem had taken place. Jerusalem has fallen. Terrible events had occurred and remained fresh and vivid in the minds of those who are still living. And as you read through Lamentations, you see that this is really written from someone who had firsthand experience in that devastation. And in all likelihood, it was written by the prophet Jeremiah himself, who, we are told, wept over the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. It is, by most accounts, Jeremiah's somber and sorrowful commentary on the sufferings experienced by the Judeans, both during and after that horrible siege. And it's also a representational confession of national sin. And through that somber note, Jeremiah comes to this high point in Lamentations, where he is reminded of, he is comforted by that truth that is central to Scripture, the faithfulness of God. That communal focus of Lamentations that looks at God's judgment upon his people, that through which they had to go, and the lament, which is what Lamentations is, a funeral dirge poem, a song in which it laments the tragedy that happened, is that which is picked up even in history. It wasn't too many years ago, during the time of World War II, during the Great Holocaust, that the American Jewish composer Leonard Bernstein turned to this text for the last movement of his great symphony, Jeremiah, that was composed and performed during the Holocaust. And it brought comfort. In this world of suffering, Lamentations continues to give its voice to the agonies of our grief and the hope that some comfort may indeed come from crying out to God whose mercy never comes to an end. It may be that we have looked at Jeremiah in our own personal losses or tragedies, and they are familiar words. We're not in Jeremiah's position. We have not suffered the destruction of our Jerusalem, as it were, but it is still appropriate that we look at his words, the text of Scripture, and the text in particular that I want to focus on today, those words, "Great is thy faithfulness." And as we look at it, see what the great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon said one time about this and much other that he found in Scripture. Preach it to yourselves. Preach it to yourself. Remind yourself in these words of God's blessing. Remember what God has done for you, that he is faithful to you. And be comforted in that great promise that God is unfailingly faithful to his people. Look with me at each of the components of our text as we begin at verse 22. We see that very familiar phrase, "the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." I remember many years ago in one of the first churches I served, someone had set that to music, and it's a beautiful setting. And we sang just the words of Scripture, and we sang, "the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." And it was always a song filled with that comfort because of the words that it preached through that text. It reminds us in these words that God's love expressed in his covenant to his people as he spoke it here, to his covenant people, is a love that is unending and it cannot be broken. It will never go away. His faithfulness to the covenant is even seen in the carrying out of the curses of that covenant that were promised way back in Deuteronomy 28, when God said through Moses that if you are not faithful and if you don't obey the words of this covenant today, I'll bring all of these curses upon you. But it was designed to bring those people to the realization that they had failed to obey God, that those curses and that judgment would then turn them back to the faithful God that they had fled from and that they had forsaken, so that they might find his grace and his love. God was being faithful to Israel even in the destruction of Jerusalem, a city in ruins. He had not forsaken them completely, because he said he wouldn't. He had forsaken them only so far as to bring them to that point of turning back to him, because he is neither fickle nor failing. His covenanted love never ceases. And then Jeremiah goes on and says, because of it, we are not consumed. That's the result of God's love. The unfailing love of God is the reason for us to rejoice. He sent Jesus into this world, this broken world, this world of rebellion and sin, of which we are a part, to bear our curse, to take our sin, to die in our place, so that he might not only redeem us, but preserve us to the end, so that no matter how greatly we may suffer, and in this world we may, and we will, to some degree, we will suffer, but God will always be faithful to us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Verse 22, his compassions never fail. Many parents are here today. We know what our parenting skills are and how far they fall short of this exalted standard. There are times when I have lost patience with my children. Some of you might have done the same. Some of those who are younger here can possibly even, not possibly, they've got it on their computers now, cataloging parents' failures, you know? You said you would! Oh, those are words we don't like to hear as parents. What's wrong with us? We're broken. We're failing. We're not as faithful as God, but we can never do that with God. His compassions never fail. Never fail. God will never fail his people. His unfailing concern for his people is expressed in his compassion and his love. His mercies are not consumed. We can't exhaust God's supply of mercy. His rich inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ is available to every child of God. It was Matthew Henry who said, when our comforts fail, God's compassions do not. They never fail. The writer of Hebrews repeatedly tells us how God feels with his suffering children. And then he says, our heavenly high priest, Jesus, now at God's right hand, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He has put Jesus there to sympathize with us. His compassions never fail. When all other encouragements fail, when everything else seems, where do I go? Where do I turn? The Lord ever remains faithful. And his unfailing concern for his people is new every morning. That's a wonderful turn of the phrase, isn't it? You know, we're creeping up on the end of the year, and then we hit the new year, and we always have a New Year's service, and we talk about the old year, and you know, and the years go by, and the hairs go gray, and the hairs go away. And we look back, and things didn't always go well the past year or years. Some have gone through hardships, personal loss, or tragedy. There are things that go awry, and our plans need to be altered and changed. But with our Heavenly Father, His unfailing concern for His people is as fresh on January 1st as it will be on December 31st, year after year, day after day. What does that mean? It means that every day that you get out of bed, every day that you rise and see a new day is another reminder to you that God is on His throne, preserving and caring for you and for His people, and He'll never forsake them. The songwriter picks up on that truth and says, if He giveth more grace, you remember that twist in the hymn? It's because we need more grace, and He's always going to give it. His grace is sufficient. He provides us with unending streams of mercy. That means then that for the unsaved person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, hasn't confessed Him as Lord, that new day is another day of grace, another opportunity for repentance, another day for the church to march in the orders of Jesus Christ and to bring the gospel and power in bringing that message of Jesus as the only Savior of sinners to people that they may hear and be saved. It's another reprieve from death for the unsaved individual. He has yet that day. Today, the scripture says, is the day. But for the Christian, it's also another day. His mercies are new every day. And for you as a believer in Jesus Christ, every new day of those unfailing mercies of God is a day for you to walk with the Lord. Do you remember who walked with God? If we did a quiz today, would you be able to get them all? There's only two. Who walked with God? Enoch, everybody knows him. Who is the other one? Make you look it up. You're another one. If you're a Christian, walk with God. Are you walking with God? He's given you His unfailing concerns, mercies, His grace each day. For you to walk with Him in obedience to His word, in dependence upon Him. It's another day to trust God like Abraham, our father in the faith. He trusted the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He trusted the Lord when the Lord gave him that promise. You are going to have a son, not through Hagar, but a son from your own body. He trusted the Lord. Now think about that for a moment. He's older at that time than my mom is now, and she's 95. How many of you would think that a 99-year-old and a 100-year-old were going to have a child? No hands. That's right. God told Abraham, you're going to have a child. He believed, trusted the Lord, and he walked in communion with God in that faith. And for the believer, it's a day to trust God. What are the things that you face? Problem? Heartache? Struggle? Difficulty? Don't know what to do? Need wisdom? Whatever it is, this is the day of God's unfailing mercy to you as a believer in Jesus Christ, the day to walk with Him and trust Him in communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Lord. And even as a believer, it's another day for us to find that gracious pardon for sin, because we continue to walk in sin. We continue to allow that old nature to rise up. Our enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil continues to assault us. And praise God, it's another day for that cleansing mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied so that the victory can be declared. It's Christ alone who has done it all. It's a day to trust in that provision of Jesus, who is our provider. He provides all that we need. He is our Lord, and He will preserve and keep us until the very end. And notice that verse 23 says, His faithfulness never diminishes. They are new every morning. God always, always, always always remains faithful, regardless of how untrusting or even disobedient we may become. Scripture says in 2 Timothy, he cannot deny himself. God, who has said he is faithful, cannot deny himself. That's the profound basis upon which the assurance is for every child of God that we have, that all who call upon him in truth and in faith will be saved. And he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What profound assurance of God's unlimited grace. And as Spurgeon said, to quote him again, he has thousands of millions of people to deal with. Thousands of millions. I don't think, you know, I mean, the number is just without number. And throughout all of the ages. And yet there stands not beneath heaven itself, or above the stars, or in hell, a single soul who can say that God in any transaction has ever dealt with him otherwise than according to absolute faithfulness. Let me translate Spurgeon to you. Has God ever been unfaithful to you? Cannot be. He's God. Has God ever been unfaithful to you in terms of carrying out his promises? Has God ever been unfaithful to you in any transaction? Spurgeon's word, of course not. He is God, faithful, ever faithful. Faithfulness never has an exception for God. He is preserving and caring for his people and will keep them unto the end. Not one promise of God has ever gone unfulfilled. Oh, if we were as good as God in terms of our parenting skills, our children would be dancing for joy. They'd have a whole lot more presents too, the ones we didn't fulfill, you know. Old Joshua said to the children of Israel, not one thing. Think of old Joshua at the end of his time. He's reflecting back. Not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. Why would Joshua say that to the people of Israel? Simply to do what Jeremiah is doing. He's reminding them of God's faithfulness. If a man makes a promise, he may make many promises. There is no one who can keep them all, even if they want to. We cannot, because we don't remember them. But God remembers every promise that he has ever made. So no matter how deep you plumb the scripture and find what small word of promise there is that may have not been discovered to you previously, you can take that promise and you can bring it to God and say, God, you will be faithful to this promise because you're God, and he will be faithful to his word. He keeps his oath. He keeps his covenant forever. And the very smallest truth that you have ever discovered in God's word will never grow dim, and God will never say, well, at least I don't have to work on that issue. No, God is going to be faithful to every last word he has declared in scripture. And that's why we have in verse 24 the foundation for our hope. I will hope in him. That's the reason Jeremiah recalls this faithfulness of God, so that I have hope. The believer's trust is in the living God. That's our portion and that's our hope. We hope in the God whose promises are certain. There's strength and there's stability for a believer because he trusts in the Lord, no matter what your circumstances may be. That foundational trust in God will carry you through, even through death itself, into the very presence of God. And when you get there, you don't have to really worry about anything, do you? Because there, in the presence of God, we won't have to worry about the world, the flesh, and the devil. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's why Jeremiah says, wait for the Lord, seek him. Seek his face. That's how we discover the goodness of God and his promise, his fullness of love, his unfailing compassion, his faithfulness to his people. When you look at this text, remember what God has done for you. What has God done for you? Can you reflect on that in your mind for a moment? For the last year, for the last years, through the previous generations that have been the faithfulness of God that has brought you even to this place today. You have every reason to reflect upon the faithfulness of God and then rejoice in it and praise Him because He is ever faithful. He will never forsake you. He will be faithful to you today, as faithful today as He will be tomorrow. There's no change. He is faithful, unchanging, and that, beloved in the Lord, is the firm ground of hope for your life and for your future. The God who is faithful to us is the God who will lead us into that future and be faithful until that very day when He takes us home into the very presence of Jesus Christ. That's why we sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." As we sing that song, think of Jeremiah and the faithfulness of God, rejoicing in it. Amen. Let us pray.